I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's gospel reading, we hear the story of one of Jesus's healing miracles. In it, he encounters a man who has been ill for an incredibly long time, 38 years, our gospel tells us. Perhaps he was born with this illness, or perhaps he contracted it at some point in his life, but either way, we can only assume that he has struggled with this for the vast majority of his life. The man is waiting by a pool of water, hoping that he can receive some sort of healing or relief for his illness. In those days, it was believed that when water was stirred up by seemingly unseen forces, often they thought it was angels, that the first person who could enter into those waters would be healed of whatever ailed them. But due to his illness and presumably his lack of mobility, this man has always been beaten out by others who have come to the pool for healing themselves. They've moved into the waters quicker than he's been able to. So here this man has sat for year after year, watching as others who are more physically capable than him have entered the waters ahead of him, taking what they assume to be the blessing and the healing for themselves. Here he watches as he himself waits for the healing that he has so desperately sought for 38 long years, hoping that one day he might be fast enough or that others might be kind enough to let him into the waters first. Of course, Jesus sees this man, the man that the rest of the world has rushed past without noticing. Jesus chooses to help the man that others have chosen to ignore. Jesus asks him if he wants to be healed, and the man's response to Jesus is sort of heartbreaking in itself. It's he sort of seems to be defensive a little bit, assuming that Jesus is asking him if he wants to be healed. Why hasn't he taken the initiative? Why hasn't he gotten into the waters himself? We can't assume that this man has been looked at suspiciously, that he has been looked down on or pitied, but not approached and hardly even noticed. Jesus, of course, does see him, and he seems to know this man in that sort of uncanny, miraculous way that Jesus seems to somewhat know so many of the strangers that he meets in his ministry. Jesus tells the man to get up, to take his mat, and to walk. And in response, that's what the man does. He gets up, he takes his mat, and he walks. Just like that. 38 years of disease, 38 years of suffering vanish in an instant at the command of Jesus. And a man who previously couldn't get himself into the pool of water can now go on his way. It is in this Easter season that we celebrate God as the bringer of salvation, as the breaker of all sorts of things that bind us. Healing miracles like this one give us a glimpse into the kind of world that God wants for us, the kind of lives that God wishes for us to live. In God's perfect kingdom, the one that God has promised us that God is bringing into the world, there is no more suffering, no more pain, no more illness, no more death. Our readings from Revelation over these past few weeks have painted a beautiful picture of what God's coming kingdom will be like, where there is no more pain, where God wipes tears away from our eyes, where there is no more night. Of course, now we still live in the between times. Right now, we live in the space between the cross and the second coming, where God will finally make all things whole and right and new. We are redeemed, but we are not yet perfect. And as such, we still live in a world where things like sickness and pain and death happen. We live in a world where at some point, all of us will feel the sting of those things, the setback of illness. This is the beauty of Jesus' healing miracles, the importance of stories like this one. We can almost certainly place ourselves into this story in some way or another, remembering a time in our lives when we have been faced with an illness that is arduous or limiting or scary, when we find ourselves yearning to be made whole or to have some struggle taken away from us. His suffering, his pain, this man's desire to be made well is one that anyone with an illness can imagine. And as such, I hope we feel just a little more connected to him and to his situation. Most of you have probably heard or seen that I came home from my trip to Morocco with one more souvenir than I would have liked when I fell while hiking there. And when I got home, I discovered I'd actually fractured my ankle. I'm standing up here right now with no shoes on, just sort of balancing on one foot, hoping nothing bad happens. Fortunately, I've been able to get around pretty easily, and fortunately, it happened at the very end of our trip, so I haven't had a lot of things to deal with on my own, but I can so much more easily, in this story this week, imagine what it's like to deal with the limitations of one's body. I remember telling Bartley, after I found out that it would take 6 to 8 weeks for my ankle to heal, that I just wanted to fast forward. I wanted to be done with this. I wanted to put it behind me and get back to normal. And of course, healing doesn't work like that. Patience is key, but for somebody who likes to get things done and to get them done quickly, slowing down and exercising patience is not something I easily do. Last week, I met with my spiritual director, and I told him about my recent misadventures, and after commiserating with me for a minute, he asked me a great question. He said, "How do you envision this affecting your ministry in the future?" Of course, there are the practicalities of this. How do I move about my life? How do I go about my job and my daily obligations? And I have to say that before this happened to me, I had never noticed how many stairs there are up at the front of this church. So many stairs. But I don't think that that's what he was getting at when he asked me how this would affect my ministry going forward. He wanted to know how this was going to help me connect and minister with people who are going through something similar now or in the future. My spiritual director shared with me a quote from the Presbyterian theologian Frederick Buechner, one that he gave in a talk some years ago. In it, Frederick Buechner said that God invites us to become stewards of our pain, good stewards of our pain. While we live in an imperfect world, imperfect things will continue to happen to us over the course of our lives. And when we let them, those things can become the means through which we connect with each other, the means through which we minister to and with each other, not from a space of simple sympathy, but from a deeper, more meaningful, more impactful place of empathy. When we move from the simple pity of sympathy to the human connectedness of empathy, the understanding, the shared emotions that come from going through similar experiences, we allow our pain and our suffering to become the touch points from which we minister to each other more effectively and more fully. In our Bible study this week, as we were reading through this lesson, one of the things that caught all of us at the very beginning was how terrible it was that nobody at the pool offered to help that man. In 38 years, nobody had helped him. Nobody had said, "Why don't you go first?" or "Why don't I help you into the pool?" Nobody had done that. And the fact that we were shocked and dismayed at that, that's empathy. That's empathy at work. Who of us in this room hasn't been ill and needed help? I certainly have. My poor husband's more of a butler than a husband right now. But all of us can imagine what it might be like to not have someone help us, because hopefully all of us have felt what it's like to be given help when we need it. That's being good stewards of our pain, using the things that happen to us in this imperfect world to help each other, to be present for each other, to show up for each other, to offer encouragement and hope and help. It's the gift of this interconnected life of faith, of being children of the same God, that we are always invited through love and through empathy to walk with each other through the things that we go through. This is what God chose to do in the incarnation of Jesus. That God chose to get into this mess with us, into this world with us. God doesn't simply imagine what we go through, how we feel, what we experience. God has done it. God has been through it, the wonderful, the terrible things that happen, and God has promised to walk with us now as we go through those things too. But the life of faith means that we are invited to walk with each other, with empathy, to be good stewards of both the pains and the blessings of our lives, and from those places, to be present and to minister with each other. Amen.